Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of African Media. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto. This week, we have news about journalists assaulted by government officials, but we also have a Sierra Leone story on a positive female empowerment blog. But first, the news. In Congo Brazzaville, President Denis Sassou Nguesso extended his 32 years in power after he was declared the winner of the presidential elections amidst controversy and cries of fraud. Three accredited journalists who were in the country covering last Sunday's election were assaulted by four people in civilian clothes as the reporters left the home of opposition candidate General Jean-Marie Michel Moukoko. An Agence France-Presse news agency journalist was slapped and their equipment and passports were confiscated. The four men who assaulted the journalists said they were police officers but refused to show their identification to the reporters. Clea Kahn-Schreiber, head of the Africa desk at Reporters Without Borders in Paris, said that this was mistreatment of people trying to do their job.
When groups dressed as civilians can arrest journalists in complete impunity, take their gear away, which can of course endanger their sources, without anything done to prevent it, that's really disconcerting. You can tell the Congolese laws are not being respected.
The French government called on the Congolese for an explanation of why the three reporters were assaulted, while the U.S. government urged Congo to ensure respect of freedom of expression. Kahn-Schreiber also spoke out on the fact that the Congolese government had created a communication blackout.
Phones and internet were shut down just to make sure there is nothing known regarding how the elections were conducted and how the votes were counted. This is pure censorship, and we can only call on the Congolese authorities to put an end to this kind of behavior, one that discredits them when we want to hold democratic elections in the country.
Five opposition candidates said earlier this week that its independent tally showed Sassou Nguesso was slated to lose the election. Congo watchers say that protests could break out like they did during the constitutional referendum last October when 18 people died. In Uganda, Minister Abraham Bayandala is in hot water this week after he allegedly punched journalist Judith Nalugwa in the stomach as he left the anti-corruption court in Kampala. Video footage has emerged of Nalugwa, a reporter for Bukede TV, clutching her stomach with a pained look on her face. Bayandala had gone to court to answer to charges of abuse of office. He claims he did not hit the reporter and that the video was doctored. There are now calls for the minister, who is without a portfolio, to step down immediately. We spoke to Goretti Nesaj, a journalism professor at Makerere University in Kampala, about his reaction to the assault on Nalugwa.
Of course, it was a big shame that he punched this female journalist. One starts to wonder if there were only female journalists around. There must have been male journalists, and must be one of these people still living in the 80s who think that women should not be in such, you know, public places. But it was only a woman that was singled out.
The minister said it didn't happen, even though it was caught on camera.
Credit should be given to the journalists who managed to capture it on camera so that this denying that he didn't do it does not arise.
Do you think that he should be forced to step down?
Well, Uganda, things are done on party lines. I think now that the journalists and the general public have demanded that he resign, it is now up to the party to show that they do not also support such acts in the party.
Nalugwa has filed charges with the police. If found guilty, he could serve up to 5 years in jail. The Uganda Media Women's Association is holding a rally on Tuesday in support of Nalugwa. And turning to our feature this week, Sierra Leonean Moyatu Banya is a woman studies professor at Temple University in Philadelphia, USA, but she also highlights strong women in Africa and the diaspora by telling their stories on womenchangeafrica.blogspot.com. She also gives back to women in Sierra Leone as the co-founder of the Girls Empowerment Summit. We spoke to her about her two projects that give back to African women.
So Women Change Africa is really a blog that really documents African women's experiences, young African women who are change makers on the African continent and also in the African diaspora. About 4 years ago when I started the platform, I realized that there wasn't really a space where young African women entrepreneurs, innovators, and trailblazers were really being celebrated and their stories weren't being documented. So what would happen is I would always meet these amazing, phenomenal women and I would ask them, well, do you have a website or how do people know about your work? And it would just kind of, the story would just kind of rest with them, and they were doing amazing things. So I would come back and talk to my friends about this amazing stuff that the women were doing. But I always realized that there was no online presence for them, and it put them at a disadvantage because people would never know what they did. And their businesses would then only be kind of located within the region that they were. So I wanted to change that with Women Change Africa. And that's precisely what I'm doing and hoping I'm doing, which is documenting the experiences of African women on the media space, which has then opened up doors for them to be featured on other media platforms, which ultimately grows their following, which ultimately draws more clientele and business opportunities to them. So it's a very intentional effort on documenting the stories of African women as it relates to entrepreneurship, business, and leadership.
Is there a particular story that you could share with us for our listeners who are across the continent?
My favorite story right now that I actually just did is Issa Takabia. She's the current Minister of State 2, Foreign Affairs. She was previously a parliamentarian and one of the main parliamentarians who led the very controversial safe abortion bill in Sierra Leone. She's just an amazing, phenomenal woman. And she really talks a lot about just this idea that she always wanted to move back to Sierra Leone from the day she moved from Sierra Leone. And when she ultimately had the opportunity, she did. And she, to me, is one of the most influential young women right now in Sierra Leone because, as we know, reproductive health rights is so important. As a feminist, it's so important to me. And she has really stirred up the Sierra Leonean political landscape when it comes to women's issues, as well as she's an entrepreneur. So just to hear her story, to hear how far she has come, to hear her vision for Sierra Leone and for manufacturing in Sierra Leone, because her business is a cosmetic industry, has been just simply amazing.
We're talking about sharing stories with young women in Sierra Leone. You also are the co-founder of the Girls Empowerment Summit Sierra Leone. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
We seek to enlighten, inspire, and empower young Sierra Leonean girls in Sierra Leone. Our belief is that the next generation of leaders in Sierra Leone are women. And we believe that the only way they can really position themselves to take on leadership roles in various arenas, whether it's politics or business, they have to be trained and they have to be given the right tools, the right resources, and the right network. So what Girls Empowerment Summit does is we really equip girls with the knowledge. We do various workshops throughout the year with our girls, everything from sexual health and reproductive rights to technology and innovation to self-development and leadership workshops to community development. One of the things I really enjoy that the girls do is a community service project every year, and they work together across schools to implement change within a specific school community. They do this through fundraising, through public awareness raising on the issues. So last year we had a school cleaning project in a particular school to kind of create more sustainable cleaning systems within that school.
What do you have planned for this year?
The girls are raising funds for a school project where they're trying to create more chairs for students in the school. It's an all-girls school, and their main problem is that sometimes there's not enough chairs for girls to sit and be in class. So what happens is girls go home. And to us, we know that in Sierra Leone, it's very critical for girls to stay in school, particularly around the ages of 15 to 16. We have to keep them in the program for as much as 4 to 5 years consistently to ensure that they don't fall into some of the traps and things that girls face in Sierra Leone, whether it's pressure to involve themselves in various sexual activities that can ultimately result in teenage pregnancy, whether it's being around negative peer influences. So we try to combat all of that by creating this space that not only gives them the knowledge, but also the skills. So they learn things such as public speaking. They learn things such as how to budget, how to implement an idea, just to really push this idea that you can be a thought leader, but you can also be a change maker. And we're very big on change. Our theme for this year is Shape, Act, Change. And we usually do an annual summit. And after the summit, throughout the year, we have quarterly workshops where our girls come together, and throughout the year, they also implement their projects.
That's it for African Media this week. I'm Laura Angela Bagneto. Thanks for listening.